In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On page 14, we read, God is self-existing. This means that he can live without help. But we need help to live. What follows are some cartoons, of course, of spelling this out for children to help a child understand these things. But if you look carefully at some of these cartoons, say the one where it says mother and father, each one has a formal beauty. That is, they are conforming to the ideal or to the subtype of what they are. Men look like men, women look like women. The policeman looks like a policeman. Formal beauty in persons was largely destroyed in the 60s and 70s, so that today it is normal to see a grown man dressed in shorts and a t-shirt and tennis shoes, just as he dressed when he was 11. There was a time in this country when there was no worship of adolescence, but when boys and girls aspired to be men and women. And so this may seem rather anachronistic or out of date, some of these cartoons, but they're really not. People really did dress up in those days, especially for Sunday Mass and holy days of obligation. And we should too. The bottom of it says, if we do not get enough air, food, and drink, and help from others, we shall die. But God does not need anything or anyone to help him. He can exist without help. That is what we mean when we say that God is self-existing. In number of 11, it says, what do we mean when we say that God is infinitely perfect? When we say that God is infinitely perfect, we mean that he has all perfections without limit, and perfections are good qualities which something has. For example, advertisements for automobiles may list the perfections of the automobile, their size, beauty, speed, power, comfort, and so forth. So infinitely, now that's an interesting word, infinite. And by that we mean that which has no limit. You know, in the English language, we really do not have a word for that which has no limit. So we say infinite, that is something that has no limit, something without finish or without end. God's perfections have no limit, no end. And those are the qualities which he possesses. You know, this description here of the car that they have an old, looks to me with those fins, maybe a 1956, say, Chevy in mint condition. We might add antiquity to that list regarding that. Number 12, what are some of the perfections of God? Some of the perfections of God are God is eternal, all good, all knowing, all present, and almighty. And God also has good qualities or perfections. Perhaps we can better understand them by comparing them with the perfections of man. Man has intelligence, God has intelligence. Man has strength, God has power. Man has goodness, God has goodness. But man also has limitations, and God has no limitations. So man is limited in knowledge and what he can know. God knows all things. There is no limit to what he can know. Man is limited in strength, but God can do all things. Man is limited in goodness. God is all good. Man is limited in time, but God is eternal. By the way, I should say, when we read about these perfections, keep in mind that the Catholic Church is not saying that we have a complete or perfect knowledge of these perfections. We don't say, for example, God is eternal because we human beings know what eternity is and God fits the bill. We would never make such a claim. As a matter of fact, all of our knowledge of God is, if you will, negative, so that when I say that God is eternal, I'm not making any claim that I understand or have an experience of eternity. but I sure know what it means to be finite. Anybody can say, even a child can say, oh, I remember when our dog was a puppy and we first got him, and then I remember when we buried him. So they have a real grasp, even at a young age, of what limited and finite means. So in our theology, when we say, when we claim to know that God is eternal, what we especially mean is that we know exactly what finite is, what a beginning and an end is, and we say that God is not that. And we're just expressing it in a grammatical way, positively. So when we say, if I say with perfect assurance that he is eternal, I mean, first of all, I know absolutely he has no beginning and he has no end. Number 14, what do we mean when we say God is all good? I forgot to read number 13. What do we mean when we say that God is eternal? When we say he is eternal, we mean that he always was and always will be, and that he always remains the same. What do we mean when we say that God is all good? When we say that God is all good, we mean that he is infinitely lovable in himself, and that from his fatherly love, every good comes to us. Now, this will be fleshed out later on. Number 15, what do we mean when we say that God is all-knowing? When we say that God is all-knowing, we mean that he knows all things, past, present, and future, even our most secret thoughts, words, and actions. In other words, he sees what we see. If you're looking at the television, he can see what you're looking at. If you are remembering a past event in your life, he sees what you're remembering. If your imagination conjures up something, some sort of image that is of your own making, he can see exactly what it is you conjured up. Now, this knowledge, what we're saying here so far in the Catechism, we say, well, okay, yeah, that I see these things, I agree with them. But when you really start to believe them, if you believe that he is all-knowing and that he can see exactly what we see at all times, and he does so without effort, that knowledge can change your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.